Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies for...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And as of August of this year, we will be 10 years. Hard to believe. It's just gone by so fast. So fast. But in the next few months, of course, we will be trying to update our radio program and to add a lot of new content. So we will be doing that sometime in, I would say, August. And so I hope you'll look forward to that. Also, I want to remind you that we have a YouTube channel. Susan Puzio is the name of it. And we'll be also working on that, trying to update that. And I also will be updating my book in the next few months. The content of the book can always be updated because we talk about people like Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Oral Roberts, Paula White, Benny Hinn. And so we'll be updating the content of that book because it was originally written a few years ago. So we'll be doing that. And the name of the book is Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. And I do have a very in-depth chapter in there about Paula White. There's probably, about 40 pages or maybe more. And there's photographs that I took myself when I was doing the investigative reporting on the downfall of the ministry that Randy White and Paula White built in Tampa and Lakeland. Of course, both of those churches were bulldozed. There's nothing left. There's nothing standing. And supposedly they took in $100 million or $150 million in the years that they were scamming people there in Tampa. And of course, if you build your house on sand and you don't build your house on the rock and the truth of the word of God, it's all going to fall apart. I don't care how much money you have or how much fame you have or who you're associated with. It's going to collapse, because one thing I know for sure, and we know that, of course, we're all human. We're all walking around in our flesh. We're all trying to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But one thing I know is that Jesus himself does not like people taking advantage of his people or other people by lying about him. He just does not like that very much. And eventually, if these people keep lying about Jesus, and of course, we've talked about this many times, the Jesus that most of these people portray is a Jesus that stands there with his hand out, and you have to put money in his hand because they tell you, whatever you let go of what's in your hand, God will let go of what's in his hand. Well, number one, God doesn't have any money in his hand in heaven. There's no money up there. What does he need money for? And what is he going to keep filthy lucre up there in heaven? He doesn't have money there. He's not raining money out of the sky. The way you get money is you work, or maybe some other human being will give you some money, but God's not dropping anything out of the sky for you. He's not raining money down. And so, but these false teachers and false prophets will lie to you about Jesus. And we know that according to the New Testament, And when we study the Gospels, especially the life of Christ and the way he acted when he was on the earth during his 33 years, there was never one time when he ever stood in a line and had people come up to him and put money in his hand, and he asked them, "What do you want? Do you want household salvation? Do you need money for your mortgage payment? Do you need healing in your body? Do you need a breakthrough? What Jesus are they talking about? It's just ridiculous." And so if these people think that they can get away with this and God's not going to judge them, yes, he's going to judge them. They don't have to be afraid of me or anybody else that's exposing them for what they are, because they expose themselves. They don't try to hide who they are. They try to con you, some of you that have been conned by these people, and they're still conning people, and they don't have a heart. And then they say, "Oh, don't call me a heretic, or don't call me a false teacher, because you're bringing division in the body." No, you're bringing division. And first of all, you don't belong to the body of Christ if you're a scam artist. You're not saved. How can anybody be saved and be scamming people on a continual basis for years at a time? It doesn't compute. Because if you're really born again and you haven't been turned over to a reprobate mind, the Holy Spirit is going to convict you of your sin, and eventually you will repent, and then you will publicly repent to the people that you've scammed, and you will try to pay back the people that you scammed. But we don't see this kind of thing in the life of the Summeralls, who we're going to talk about today, and in the life of Paula and Randy White. Of course, they're not married anymore. And in the life of people like Rod Parsley or Benny Hinn or the Roberts family, have they yet come to the body of Christ to repent of their scamming and their conning? No, it just goes on and on and on. So, no, you're not saved. Don't tell me you're a brother and sister in Christ and then you're going to turn around and try to scam me and the rest of the body of Christ. It doesn't compute. So Jesus said, "By their fruits you will know them," whether they're a brother or a sister, or whether they're in the faith. And we can judge that. We should be able to judge whether if someone comes to your door and you know that they're a rapist, or they're a bank robber, or they're a con man, you're not going to open your door to them and say, "Come on in." So don't open your door to these scam artists, and don't let them try to convince you that you're not supposed to say anything. You're not supposed to touch God's anointed. And they try to put fear in you. Yeah, shout it from the housetops that they're a scam artist. And maybe, just maybe, some of them will repent. I doubt seriously that many of them will ever repent, because they've come to love money too much. And what did Jesus say? That the love of money, not money itself, because we have to have money to live, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And it is the root of all evil. And we see it every day, what's happened to people because they can't control themselves when it comes to money. So for many of us, God is not going to give you too much money that it could ruin your life. Because Jesus said, too, that it's very hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, because they trust in their riches. Their money can buy them just about anything. It buys them influence. It can buy them fame. It can buy them whatever they want. So they don't really have to depend on God to meet their needs. So it's very, very difficult. So most of us will go through life without having tremendous fortunes, because it could ruin you. It could ruin you. A while back, many years ago in the 1980s, I wanted to buy a television license. At that time, it was very, very reasonable to buy this license. And there happened to be a tower that was laying up in the mountains that would have come along with this license, but God never allowed me to do it. And even at that time, it was probably 1985, 1986, and I was in Colorado at the time, and I really wanted to get this license, and I wanted to have a Christian television network there, but God never let me have it. And I can see why now, because I don't know who I would have put on that network to begin with, because most of the people that are on television now, they're not really preaching the gospel. They're just raising money. That's basically what they do, is they raise money. And there's very little preaching going on that really helps people, because it's mostly, if you turn on most of the channels that are there now, including World Harvest Television, which is the network that Lester Sumrall started, you'll see that they do fundraising for the most part. They do those conathons where they tell you to sow seeds, and that if you sow these seeds, you're going to get breakthroughs, you're going to get debt cancellation. Who's going to cancel your debts? The only way that you're going to get your debts canceled is if you file for bankruptcy or you pay your debts off. What bank is going to call you and say to you, or credit card company, don't worry about it, you don't have to pay your debts because you sowed seed. We are going to cancel your debts. I've never heard of it happening. I don't know anybody that it ever happened to. I hear people sometimes give testimonies about it happening. But when you borrow money, you still have to pay it back, because how do you like it if somebody borrows money from you and you don't pay it back? You don't like it. First of all, don't lend. Don't lend. If you're going to lend, just expect not to get it back. Make it a principle in your life not to lend money, because you'll make an enemy. What happens when you lend money? You have always good intentions of helping someone, and they say, I'll pay you back next week. Or the famous one is, I'll pay you back. I'll pay you back when I get my income tax return. Oh, you hear that a lot, right? And then when they get the money, they don't want to pay you back. I had something like that happen to me years ago, back in the late 1990s. Somebody, their son got arrested and they didn't have money for the bail. And oh, I felt so bad for them, because yikes, who wants their son in jail? And of course you want to bail your son out. So I said, I'll help you. They said, yeah, and we're getting money in 2 weeks. We'll have the money. We'll pay you back. Well, 2 weeks came, and then they weren't giving me the money. And so I kept asking them, when are you going to pay me back? And they said, well, we don't know when we're going to be able to pay you back. And this went on for weeks at a time. They didn't want to pay me back. And they kept giving me all kinds of sob stories. But usually what happens when you lend money is that they will take the money that they're supposed to pay you back with and use it for something else, because they have needs, or they want something. So they're just waiting for you to say, you don't have to pay me back. So they make it very, very difficult for you to get the loan back. And then when you have to keep asking them, or you have to take other measures to get your loan back, they're mad at you. Then they get angry at you that, why are you keep asking me to give you the money back? Because you said you were going to give it back to me, and you're a Christian. So try to make it a principle in your life not to lend money. And if somebody has a need and you decide that you want to help them out, you just give them the money, because you will make an enemy. You will make an enemy if you lend money and they don't pay you back, which most people don't want to pay you back. They just, once they get a hold of that money, it's very hard for them to let go of it. And their Christian principles go out the door. It's, you know. Greed is a funny thing, really. It's a funny thing what happens to people when they get money. And it doesn't even have to be a lot of money. It could just be a little bit. And they just, some people just turn into monsters. Some people will kill over $1,000 or $2,000, or you see stories like that all the time, where people are, they're killing other people because they want $10,000 or $20,000, or it is really amazing. And we're seeing more and more of this kind of thing, because sadly, the Church of Jesus Christ, which is supposed to set the example for people, we're supposed to be out there showing people how to live and how to behave. And the picture that the world has of the church, or the so-called church, because it's not the real church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the church that you see on television, which they're always telling you, give me money and you'll get money. Give me money and you get healing. Give me money and you get breakthroughs. Give me money and you can get a house. Give me money and you can get a car. And it's a sad display for the world to see. So we want to raise up a standard. Let's set a standard for the world, and let's not be like the world. Let's be people of integrity. That the Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. So we work. We pay our bills. We don't live beyond our means. And we don't try to scam people to get offerings or to pay our bills or to take care of our families. For the most part, if you made a family, you're responsible for taking care of that family. And I know people go through hard times. There's people that come down with illnesses and they can't work. So there are certain circumstances where people need help. We understand that, of course. But if you're able-bodied and you made a family, you are responsible for that family. Nobody else is responsible for them but you. So let's try to be people of the Word of God and try to set an example in this lost and dying world that we're in today, when everything is turned around. There's so much upheaval, and there's so many things going on every day. You're just amazed by what you hear on the news and by what you see. Probably next week I'm going to try to do this a program about this pastor James McDonald, who has Harvest Ministries. Supposedly they had, I don't know how many churches, 5, 6, 7 churches around the country. And they appeared like they were a very, very prosperous ministry. And anyway, there's all kinds of things going on. Supposedly he was trying to hire hitmen to have people murdered, including his own son-in-law. And then they found out there's like $40 million in debt. It's like, where did the money go, you know? Imagine that you're collecting tithe money, which they do, from thousands of people, and you've got all this money rolling in and you just can't contain yourself. So you wind up in a big mess. But anyway, it's a big mess what's going on with this so-called ministry. So I'm going to try to go through all the articles and the audios and things that have come out in recent months about this ministry, and we'll be talking about that. But it's another sad commentary on into what happens when people get too much too soon, and especially when they get it when they're not teaching God's word, when they're not teaching the true principles of giving, is to give out of a pure heart because you love God and because you love other people, and you don't have to expect anything in return. Try to train yourself, even though the Bible says given it shall be given, don't make that your motive. Try to train yourself to give something because you just want to make somebody happy. I remember a while back I had sent a friend of mine a bouquet of flowers just because I wanted to bless her, and she came back and she said to me, oh, I don't have anything to give back to you. I feel so bad. And And I told her, I said, I wasn't giving you the flowers because I wanted something back. I wanted to make you happy. And she was so happy over those flowers. But she felt so bad because she felt like she had to give me something back. And I told her, I said, it's not necessary for you. I'm not giving you something because I'm expecting something back from you. I'm giving you something because it made me happy and because it made you happy. And let that be our motive, is that we want to truly make other people happy by our giving. Whether we get anything back or not, that's up to the Lord, what he's going to give us, how much he's going to give us, when he's going to give it to us, because he's our Father. He knows what we can handle. So let's try to train ourselves to have a pure heart in our giving, to have a pure heart in our Christian walk, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, as Jesus said to do. And we'll see a much stronger church, a much more loving church, because how can you love someone when you just do things for them because you want something back from them? That's not real love. It's not, you know, it's not love at all. So all of us want to be loved. Everybody wants love, but you want real love. You don't want fake love and love that just uses me to get something. Nobody wants that. So God doesn't want that either. He wants our love. And I know I hear people saying this, don't always go to God with your needs. Well, who are you going to go with? Of course, who are you going to go to, except if you go to God with your needs? Who are you going to go to? So it's okay to go to God and cry and ask him why and to ask him to help us. He understands. He's not going to say, look, you were here yesterday, so don't come back today. No, he's always there for us. He's a God of mercy. And I'm not saying we're going to understand all the things we have to go through, because we're definitely not going to understand why things happen the way they do. Why do Christians get murdered? Why do Christians have debilitating diseases? Why do people lose everything they've worked for all their lives? Why do bad things happen? I don't understand it all. I don't understand it all. And sometimes people say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask why. Probably when we get to heaven, we won't care at that point. So, but I can't explain everything that happens to us while we're walking here on the earth. I can't understand it. But I know one thing. I know God's real. I know Jesus is real. I know he saved me from the pit of hell, that I know. I know he redeemed my life with his tender mercies, and he can do the same for you. So whatever you're going through today, and I know some of you are suffering, and just try to encourage yourself in the Lord. What more can we do? What more can we do? But it's on my mind so many times when I think about some things that other people go through in life, and we'll try to encourage each other in the Lord. Pick up the phone, send somebody a gift, do something. When you know somebody's going through something, an encouraging word can mean so much, or a little gift can mean so much, a surprise. It can really help somebody when they're going through things. So just try to be sensitive to the needs of other people. But anyway, let's take a look here. There's been a story in the news here about Lester Sumrall's family. Now, here in Lester Sumrall, of course, was basically, I would say, a word of faith preacher. He was very friendly with Oral Roberts and Kenneth Copeland. Anyway, he ran in that circle. And also Rod Parsley, who is a total pimp preacher, disgraceful person, really. And he claims that Lester Sumrall was his spiritual father. Well, he didn't do a very good job raising his so-called spiritual son, that Rod Parsley turned out the way he did. Talk about scamming. He has all kinds of scams. And years ago, sometime in the early 1980s, I guess I got on one of his mailing lists or something, and I probably put my phone number down on the card. Or at that time, of course, we didn't have the internet, so there was no email or anything like that. So I get a phone call one day, and the phone call says, "Hi, this is Lester Sumrall." Well, I didn't know if it was really him or not at first. So then I'm listening and say, "Oh, I was thinking about you today, and I want you to know that I'm praying for you." And then I realized it was a robocall. Oh, it upset me so much. It really upset me, because I thought to myself, why is he lying? Like, why is he telling me that he was thinking about me today when this is a robocall? So I know that he wasn't thinking about me. He's lying. Oh, after that, I had really a bad impression of Lester Sumrall's ministry. I thought to myself, this is a scam. Why is he doing this? And of course, back then, I was still in the Word of Faith movement, and I didn't get out of that movement until 1997. But there was all these alarm bells going off through the years, and this was one of them. So after that, I wasn't too keen really on Lester Sumrall's ministry. If you're going to call someone and tell them that you're thinking about them and you're praying about them, it can't be a robocall, because they're calling how many thousands of other people and telling them the same thing. I doubt seriously that he was sitting at home thinking about thousands of people. Anyway, Lester Sumrall also founded a television ministry, and today you can see that on some of the networks. It's called World Harvest Television. And it was, after Lester died, it was being run by, I think his son Peter took it over. And then Peter died, I think in 2015, I think he died of a heart attack. Anyway, then there started to hear, this article is from 2016, but I'm going to read some of this, and then I'll read the latest article that just came out a few days ago or a few weeks ago. It says, Lester Sumrall's grandson, also Lester Sumrall, claims his grandfather's legacy is being sullied by LaCie Broadcasting's current president, Drew Sumrall. And Drew, or Andrew, is the son of Peter, who is the son of Lester. Lester died, and Peter died in 2015. So his son, Drew, took over. According to an open letter Lester sent to the Christian community, it says that Drew Sumrall, the current president of LaCie Broadcasting Corporation, LaCie board members, has publicly articulated and published his personal philosophy of atheism and communism in his book, An Essay Toward Universal Revolution. Wow. That's a mouthful, right? According to the bylaws of LaCie Ministry, Drew's anti-Christian, anti-church beliefs and writings disqualify him from any leadership role. All of this has been deliberately hidden from the loyal friends and donors of LaCie. Drew's worldwide worldview is diametrically opposed to the spiritual foundations of all LaCie ministries. Shockingly, in a face-to-face conversation with Drew, he declared to me that our grandfather, Dr. Lester Sumrall, was a crazy old man with a bunch of crazy ideas. Well, he wasn't too far off in that, because once you start lying and manipulating people to get money for your ministry, yeah, you could wind up like Nebuchadnezzar with being on your all fours on the ground, and your nails being overgrown, and your hair being matted, and you're eating grass. You wind up crazy. So that's not too far off. That statement wasn't probably too far off. So it says, furthermore, Lester claims controversy embroils LaCie. He writes that the Indiana Attorney General has opened an investigation into the potential power of attorney fraud, as well as the use of funds taken from Reverend James A. H. Murphy's bank account. Says, by 2003, questions were raised regarding the entitlement and private benefit of LaCie Broadcasting CEO Peter Sumrall, who was the son of Lester, his children, and others he was in relationship with. It said that he may have committed power of attorney fraud and financial elder abuse by commingling the personal funds of Reverend James H. Murphy into the various LaCie ministries for his own benefit. That sounds familiar, right? By 2005, these alleged indiscretions entangled the two-thirds majority of the board of directors, Peter Sumrall and David Ernest Sumrall, pastor of Cathedral of Praise in Manila, Philippines. The indiscretions pointed to the possibility of corporate malfeasance and gross negligence. It's also interesting that in the story that I'll read from you from a few weeks ago, they claim that this ministry took in $1 billion since Lester died. Wow. And no doubt, when you look at some of the telephones they used to have, well, of course, they used to bring the top pimp preachers in existence, Mike Murdoch, who's probably the king of the pimps. You can turn on some of these networks in the middle of the night and you'll see Mike Murdoch. He'll be on 3 or 4 networks. And even with programs that are 10 or 20 years old, they just keep repeating these programs because apparently they're great fundraisers. But it's sad. It's a sad legacy to leave behind. What minister of the gospel would want to leave behind videos and audios of conning people and lying to people? What kind of legacy is that? If you're going to leave behind, if you want to leave behind a legacy, don't worry too much about your legacy anyway, because, you know, you'll be dead. And for the most part, people will forget about you. And or they might be interested in what you had to say. So make sure that if you leave something behind, it's the unadulterated word of God. Yeah, make sure you leave behind that kind of a legacy, not this foolishness that Lester Sumrall left behind, that's for sure. But he was able to mix a lot of the gospel with a lot of false teaching. So he had a little bit of both. Anyway, this other report here is from the Indy Star. So if you want to look it up yourself, it just came out recently. And that's available online. Also, the other article that I just read to you from 2015. But this in the Indy Star says, in May 2018, the lawsuit claims Lester L. Sumrall even attempted to interfere, and apparently they're taking action. Let's see, the television ministry and the ministry of Lester Sumrall, who is being run now by Drew, they have filed a lawsuit against Lester, saying he demanded to be installed as the CEO after Peter Sumrall's death in 2015. He tried to persuade a lender to cut ties with the organization and made other false claims about LaCie that included allegations of illegal activity, defrauding a lender, fraud, and financial elder abuse. Well, what is fraud? Didn't Jesus say that some people are full of extortion and excess? Well, what is extortion? Extortion is if you're watching a so-called Christian television program or listening to one of these so-called preachers, and they tell you that, send me some money, and when you send me the money, you're really giving it to God. And then when God gets the money, he lets the money go out of his hand into your hand, and then he pays your debts, he gives you debt cancellation, he gives you healing, he gives you household salvation. That's called extortion and excess, and that's called fraud. So anyway, that's what it is. But, oh, they don't like the fact that this grandson is making these claims against Lassie, but for the most part, it's true. From what I can see of how they displayed themselves to the public, and it was for anybody to see, it was for anybody to watch the programs. These weren't hidden things that they were doing. This was obvious to any person watching what they were doing. Some people, of course, fall for it, and they don't read their Bible for themselves, so they just believe, look, I've got debts, I've got needs, so I better give some money so I can get money so I can pay these debts. And so they take advantage of desperate people, which is a sad state of affairs, too. Anyway, it says that Lester, the grandson, attempted to interfere in the divorce proceedings of Andrew Summerall. He allegedly contacted a mediator, apparently believing the mediator represented Andrew Summerall's wife and offered information that would help his client in the divorce case. Oh, dear. Lester F. Summerall certainly didn't expect what is happening to his family today, at least not according to a profile on the family broadcasting website. In the final segment under the headline, Goodbye, Planet Earth, the pioneering evangelist said he's leaving his legacy in good hands. I don't think so. I don't think so, because he wasn't leaving his legacy in good hands, Lester, because he had already taught his children and his grandchildren how to be pimps, how to con people out of their hard-earned money and to frame it around the gospel of Jesus Christ, to take the Bible and use it as a prop and use it as a fundraising gimmick. So he was the one that was responsible for raising these children and these grandchildren. Most of us that have been raised by good people, honest, hardworking people, never would have your parents tell you, look, this is the way you get money, is you tell people that if you give me some money, you'll get something back. What parent, did your parents tell you that? Never. Probably never. Never. Most of our parents wanted us to work and to learn how to stand on our own two feet and not to depend on other people to meet our needs, but to depend on God and to be people of honesty and integrity. So it was Lester's fault in the long run, because he raised these people. He taught these people everything they knew, and he never corrected them and taught them the right ways of God and the right ways to do things. So he was the one that sowed the seed of the way his kids turned out and his grandkids. It says, men who do not make provision for successors in business or ministry often leave behind problems that someone else has to clean up. And that's very true. If you need to make sure that you write things down and you have things, yet if you're going to leave a will or you're going to leave things to your children or children's children, you write it down and you specify it, because otherwise after you die, people will be fighting over your assets because you didn't do a good job of doing everything legally. You see it all the time. It happens all the time. People start fighting over money after somebody dies. But apparently Lester didn't write everything down the way he should have. So it says that, I feel that God will give a smooth transition for my successors as I have provided them with an organization that can expand and grow. Instead of a mess, I will leave, this is Lester Sumrall speaking, I will leave behind a well-organized, expertly managed evangelistic ministry. I don't think so. I can't imagine my sons facing some dilemma in the ministry and asking one another, what would Dad have done in this situation? What would Dad have done? What Dad would have done is he would have held a telethon and he would have conned people. So that's what Dad would have done. So that's what they learned. Now they're having all these issues. And apparently, they're saying that Lester had left, he wanted this other grandson that was named after him, Lester, to have the ministry. And supposedly he wrote a note. He wrote it down and it was his signature, but he didn't have it notarized or he didn't take it to an attorney or whatever. So then when he did die, his son Peter took it over, and when he died, he gave it to Drew, which supposedly, according to this other grandson, Lester, is saved. But like I said before, if people are continually defrauding the body of Christ without repentance, year after year after year, well, they can't be saved. They can talk about Jesus all they want, and they can cry about how Jesus saved them when they were seven or saved them when they were eight, how he gave them a vision to reach the world with the gospel. Well, they're not preaching the gospel in the first place, because they only preach the gospel for filthy lucre's sake, and they don't really care about God's people. Because if you really care about God's people, you're going to preach the gospel no matter what. You're going to preach the gospel. Even if you have to use your own money, you're going to use your own money to preach the gospel. Even if you have to get another job besides preaching the gospel, you're going to get another job to preach the gospel. You're going to do whatever you can to preach the gospel, whether people donate or not. And you're not going to be a beggar. You're not going to beg people to support you when it's the Lord's ministry. And if the Lord wants people to support you, he will get people to support you. He knows how to speak to people. He does a much better job of speaking to people than you can. And the Bible says that the righteous will not be forsaken, and God's seed will not be begging for bread. So we don't have to be beggars. We don't have to beg and tell people we're going off the air and that we can't do what we're going to do unless you donate. And look, we have to put that stuff behind us. And we have to get up there and we have to preach the gospel, whether people donate or not. If we have to make sacrifices, you make the sacrifices to preach the gospel. And we do whatever we can do to do our work. So you have to do it out of a pure heart. That's what God looks for. God looks for a pure heart. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So personally, I'm tired of all that begging and all that goes on. And it's so disgraceful, really, to see what's happened. So if you want to take up an offering in your church, that's fine. I'm not opposed to people taking up offerings. If that's what they want to do, as long as they're honest about it, and they don't say, we're taking up this offering because you have to give it to God because he needs it. No, God doesn't need your money. You need the money. Just be honest. We need the money. We need the money to pay the bills, to pay the light bill, to pay the salaries for our missions program. Be honest with people. That's all. Just present it honestly. Don't lie about tithing. Don't lie about seed sowing and all that. Just be honest. And God will bless your integrity. God will bless your honesty. If you don't do it God's way, you're going to wind up like this family. the guy that's supposedly running the ministry is not even, doesn't even appear to be a saved person. And or you wind up like James McDonald, this pastor that was trying to hire hitmen to kill people because he was so afraid that they were going to expose him. Don't be afraid of the people that are going to expose you. Be afraid of God. He knows all about what you're doing. I would be more afraid of God than I would be afraid of people exposing me. But that's what happens when they're overcome with greed and selfishness. They turn to murder. Well, that's a familiar story too, isn't it? It's just like the story of Cain and Abel. So it's not a good state of affairs here. It'll be interesting to see what happens here with this ministry and or so-called ministry, as I like to say, because a lot of these ministries, they're not really ministries. They're just they're pretend ministries. But I want to see more ministries that are in it because they just want to bless people. They have something that they can offer to the body of Christ. And we want to set a standard for how things should be done according to God's word. So we're finishing the Reformation, right? We're finishing the Reformation. We want to see the church of, people talk about, oh, we're going to have a revival. And so they call a revival going to a meeting and people falling on the floor and people screaming and all these things. That's a revival. No, a real revival in the body of Christ is to examine yourself and to preach the gospel honestly with a pure heart. That's a real revival, is to do away with all these old teachings that have nothing to do with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as it's supposed to be, as we're supposed to behave. We're to take all that old leaven out, the leaven that has been spoiling the whole lump for years, and to have a reformation and to read the Bible for ourselves and to understand what the Word of God says. Because even a person like Lester Sumrall, well, he claimed to be such a great Bible teacher, or he was respected as such a great Bible teacher, but even himself, he couldn't even get it straight when it came to tithing. As much as he was a so-called acclaimed Bible teacher, he couldn't even teach it correctly himself. And here's a little clip on Lester's tithing teachings.
Verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God, but God teaches us that the tithe is holy, H-O-L-Y. They shall not want any good thing. Glory be to God. They shall not want any good thing. There's some things not good for you, is what I'm trying to get across here. The things that are good for you and are right for you, that'll keep you spiritual, that'll keep you walking the right way and the good way, you shall not want those things, because God will see that you get them. You see, how does all this function? We read in Malachi 3 and 10 these words. God says to the people, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, in that day, the storehouse was in Jerusalem. That's where the temple was. The whole nation went up to Jerusalem to worship, just as if everybody in America were to go up to Washington, D.C. to worship. Everybody went up to Washington to worship, you know. In those days, they went up there to worship, and that's where their storehouse was. All the clergy of the entire country were given their funds from Jerusalem, so that they went throughout the whole nation preaching and teaching and blessing the people. So they were to bring their tithes into that place. Where should we bring our tithes? We should bring our tithes into the place that feeds our soul. You are not supposed to go and buy yourself a gift with your tithes. Not even a Bible. You'd be amazed the number of people says that, well, I use my tithes to buy a Bible. Are you here or not? The Bible teaches us that the tithe is holy, H-O-L-Y. The tithe is holy unto the Lord, and that you're not to give it to your in-laws that are broke, and that you're not to give it to your neighbors, that you're to bring it into the place that feeds your spirit. Is that all right? You say, but I don't go to church anywhere. I get all of my blessing off of television. Well, send it there. I get...
It's amazing to me because here's a man that supposedly spent most of his adult life studying scripture, and he wants to tell you that they had to bring their tithes to Jerusalem. What he doesn't tell you is that it was food. It wasn't money. It was food. Find me one scripture in the Bible that ever said that the tithe was money. It wasn't. Never in the Old Testament. They brought their food to the storehouse. That's what the storehouse was. So then, but you see how they manipulate, because then he says, then he wants to change it and say that you're supposed to give your tithe to where you're spiritually fed. Then he talks about spiritual food, but yet he won't tell you the truth that when they were bringing their tithes to the storehouse, they were bringing food there so that they could feed the widow, the orphan, and take care of people that had needs. And then he tells you, you can't use that tithe money to give it to your relatives or to help somebody. But yet, I can't exactly remember where the scripture is, but there is a scripture in the Old Testament that says that when they were taking their tithe to the designated place, if they couldn't get there, they could take their tithe, which was their crops, and they could sell it, and they could use it for whatever they wanted. So Lester didn't read his Bible, but he probably didn't want to read those scriptures to people because he wanted to manipulate people so that they would give their 10% there. And then he tells them, well, if you don't have a church and you like this television ministry, then give your tithe here. So he was a manipulator. And that's why he wound up with these children that he wound up with, manipulators themselves and grandchildren. So it was his own fault. It was his own fault. And that's what happens if you don't train up a child in the way they should go. They're going to wind up like this. And then when you're gone, they're all going to be fussing and fighting and suing each other over your will and over your property and over your bank accounts. And so it'll go on and on. Now, this thing has been going on for 3 years, since 2016, these lawsuits. And it can continue to go on for years to come. Who knows? You know, the people that are getting rich from this are the attorneys. Yeah. How many, it's just like when TBN was being, they were having family disputes, and Matt Crouch spent $5 or $6 million fighting his family, his brother and his brother's children. Yeah, he spent $5 or $6 million on attorney's fees when he could have given that money to them and said, look, here, take this, which they wound up with nothing. Paul Jr. and his children wound up with nothing, with the probably over $1 billion in assets that TBN has today. They wound up with nothing, and TBN and Matt Crouch spent millions fighting them. When he could have just said, here's something, take this and leave me alone. But no, he wouldn't do that. No, he wouldn't do that. He was full of revenge. And it was terrible. It was really, really terrible. But that's what happens. That's what happens. So anyway, be careful. Make sure that you write things down and that you're specific about what you want done with whatever you leave behind, so that your children don't hate each other after and want to kill each other and are taking each other to court. And anyway, it could be one big mess, but that's our program for today. God bless you all. And you're in my thoughts and prayers. Thank you everybody for tuning in, my listeners in the United Kingdom, which I visited over 30 times. And love the United Kingdom very much. My listeners in Canada, France, South Africa, hello. I've been to South Africa, up and down the coast there. That was back in the 1990s when I was visited that beautiful country. And our other listeners in Australia, Singapore, many countries of the world. We have many listeners all over the world, and we appreciate you tuning in. Our listeners in France, hello to the church in France. And we'll be praying for each other. Don't forget to pray for me and lift me up. I'll be thinking about all of you and most of all the people that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Give your life to Jesus today. He loves you. He said he would never leave you or forsake you. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the God of comfort. He will comfort us. He will try. He will get us through the things we're going through. We're all going through things, and we all need God's help. We all need God's help today. But most of all, give your life to Christ today. No matter what you've done, no matter what it is, God can forgive you, and he will put it in the sea of forgetfulness, and he will give you a brand new life. You can become a new creation. Jesus said in the third chapter of John, ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Romans 10:10 says, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. So we must confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. And he will. And he will give you a brand new life. God bless you today.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.